They say the best things in life are free. And you know something? They're right. Jimmy Stewart here. Want to invite you to download your free audiobook now. Just punch in audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow and get yours today. Go on now, you can afford it.
From Long Beach, California, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
From Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Jeffrey Ross.
From the Roundabout Studios on the wrong side of the train tracks, I'm Eric Tritko.
Literally. And I'm your host, Craig Cole.
And I'm producer, Ben Sanders.
This is Roundabout.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode 36, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you probably missed.
Every week, like longshoremen, we root around inside the hull of the internet in search of cargo to offload and a cohesive, zen-like theme, as we unpack cases of imitation designer blue jeans and pallets of canned meat imported from South America. We find all kinds of different things to talk about, like technology, history, and even STDs. And whatever's left over, when our shift is done, well, we'll leave it for the night crew, because the boss man ain't paying no overtime. Isn't that right, Eric?
What's overtime?
When you're salaried, it's a totally foreign word.
What's a boss?
Well, we can't all work for ourselves like you, Michelle. We can't be our own boss. We don't have an Amway account or whatever. We don't go door-to-door selling stuff. Cookies or
like
whatever
I do. Mine's Mary Kay, though.
Is it? Is that what they
do?
Do they sell Girl Scout cookies there? Is that what they do? No? I don't know.
Yeah.
Whenever they get on my porch, I get the shotgun, shoo them away, or tell them I'm diabetic.
Thought that was Eric.
Get off my lawn! No? Not so much?
Not going to take the bait there, I don't think.
No, he's just sitting there silently. He's saving his rage for later.
he's in an iPad sort of transfiction right now. He's having the...
No, that's all right.
Yeah. It's like math, you just got to use it once.
Really, Jeff?
Or so I've been told.
Oh. Well, I thought that Jacksonville was kind of a distribution hub, if you will, for illegal...
Only for Toyotas and Volkswagens.
You don't say. I didn't know.
The meth area is a little bit further northwest in the Alabama and Tennessee region of the country.
We should ask Zach about that. He's from the south.
The Redneck Riviera.
When I go visit my parents, when I go visit my parents, I drive through a town called Albertville, Alabama, which is also known as Meth Mountain.
Are you shitting
us?
Oh, my God. Well, you know, illegal drugs like meth or cocaine, heroin, mescaline, quaaludes. Help me out here, Eric. What am I missing? Ecstasy, speed.
Verners.
Mushrooms.
Mushrooms. They can all mess with your brain. So we thought we could tie that in with this week's theme, which is the psychology episode. And Michelle?
I think the 22-inch wheels shows that you have a lack of self-confidence. Why don't you pull into my garage and tell me how that makes you feel?
Michelle Naranjo, you are our resident brain enthusiast, as it were.
So it's a sad, sad sign, isn't it?
A brain enthusiast.
Anything, you're enthusiastic about the mind. About the adventures of the mind.
What he's saying is that, you know, yes, I'm still in therapy.
So we figured we would do a psychology-themed episode of Roundabout. And we're going to need your help for these news stories to tie them into our theme. But I trust you can do that, you know?
I will do my best.
Well, you haven't let us down... yet or lately.
Not this episode.
No, well, we're only, what is it here? 4 minutes, 35 seconds into it. So, you know, there's plenty of time for disappointment. But diving into the stories, Jeff, you've got our first one, and it comes courtesy of the Associated Press. What's going on with this? This is kind of a weird, it's something to do with anxiety.
I could just see this happening over here. What's happening over in Amsterdam? People who are afraid to take tests, which is getting to be the new excuse that you do poorly in school, People who don't want to take their driving test are given timeouts so they don't get too stressed out during their traffic exam. And I'm just like, are you serious? Like, driving is going to be stressful. You don't get a timeout.
Yeah, what happens when you're merging onto the freeway with your 86 Volkswagen Golf diesel with, like, 22 horsepower? I mean, that's a white-knuckle experience there. What are they going to do? Just pass out?
Spare the rod, spoil the child.
Yeah,
this is the no Clio left behind theory.
No 2CV.
I could so see this happening here, though. I mean, all the issues that are made with, like, standardized testing and stuff like that, it just seems like something that we will cater to those who think they should get a driver's license no matter what expense.
Well, we're a nation of special interests, you know. Keyword being special.
Very special.
Yes.
It's actually gotten to the point now, though, and this has been going on for many years, where you don't get declined from, you know, you used to would try out for cheerleader, for example, at your school. And now it's become such a big deal that nobody can really lose. That if you try out for cheerleader, you automatically get put on this, like, other, like, sub-cheerleader
the B squad.
Team. Right. I mean, nobody ever has to assert themselves and say to them, okay, maybe I'm not so good and I need to try harder. Or
lose weight.
Or maybe I'm not cut out for this.
Yep. It's like it's the everybody getting a trophy syndrome, right?
Well, that makes sense for, like, first graders, because that just shows, you know, it teaches you how to be a good loser. But, you know, when you're in high school, there is a winner and a loser. In real life, there's always a winner and a loser.
Mm-hmm.
And you should learn to deal with it.
Yeah.
Or get popped in the face by me.
Do we need a new segment for Jeff, Ben? I mean, Jeff's boiling over segment or whatever you call it.
But I mean, as I was reading this, I could just see someone complaining at a DMV here. Oh, I'm not good taking tests. Can I go sit down in the side room with my BlackBerry, please? I mean, our drivers are already bad enough.
Yes, they are.
Ben, what is this video?
I'm not sure how they are in Amsterdam, but...
It's the psychiatric ward.
Oh.
It's not very interesting, but it was seen on Inside Edition, so...
Okay. Well, you know, that's great. And speaking of bad driving, I listened to the latest episode of the Auto Bird podcast with our good friend Colin Bird from the Auto Bird blog. Yes. And they had our good fan... Mirko Reinhardt on from over in Germany, and he was talking about how they. Yes. We can't hear you, Ben.
Nine!
How's that?
There you go. Thanks for participating. And he was, you know, they were talking about the difference in drivers between the U.S. and Europe, and, you know, how much more professional they are over on the continent. And it's a very interesting discussion. But I
Sounds
agree with you,
like
Jeff.
It.
We basically suck here. Nothing?
Don't all Europeans think that everyone in America is a waste of protoplasm?
Probably.
Because we're not European?
I don't know. I wouldn't go that far. But, hey, whatever. And this story was in the Netherlands, and just as a completely random side note, have you ever heard Dutch, Eric?
I have.
Is it not the creepiest language ever?
I've heard worse.
Op om meer te doen aan de bescherming van het milieu. Topmannen van onder meer ABN AMRO, Shell, KLM, TNT en Unilever stellen dat de milieuproblematiek...
Unilever. It sounds like a cross between Swedish and German.
Ze zijn bezorgd op...
It sounds like they're playing something backwards and trying to beam subliminal messages into your head.
No, you know what's even stranger is when Dutch people speak English... Because they
Isn't
are
that
absolutely,
weird?
They tend to be completely fluent, but they have this weird accent where I always think they have a speech impediment.
Like, we just had Victor Muller on Autoline. He didn't sound abnormal to me, but maybe he's been here long enough to.
Maybe.
Is that the country where they always sound like they're white?
Ben, what are you doing?
I was trying to play Goldmember. Forgot to mute it. But since I've gotten this far.
Pound sign fail.
Yeah.
Did you actually give him one of those rock monsters with alcohol in it? Those Red Bulls or whatever they're called.
Quaaludes, I got to have two sparks. Cups today. It was great.
I put it in a sippy cup for him. And yeah. So you were saying, somebody was saying about the Dutch?
Is that the country where they, when they speak English, they sound like they're whining, like, yeah, we always wanted to go to New York.
That's the Germans.
You're going to piss Mirko off, Michelle, aren't you? He's gonna abandon us and we won't have any fan then.
We'll always have Mud Monster.
I don't know.
And Luke.
Although we try to offend them by saying they can't drive sticks, so.
It's true. Okay. Craig offended them. Craig's the one that called them douches.
But that was not what I meant, Michelle. I poorly worded that statement. Now you're going to hold me to that forever.
Hey, Mr. Bauer. I love gold. The look of it, the taste of it, the smell of it, the texture.
Before we get sued for copyright infringement,
we'll move
Michelle,
on.
You've got our next story.
It comes courtesy of
Seattle Times. What can you tell us about this?
I know the exact opposite corner of the country from where you'd expect this story to come from, because normally I would expect this to come from Florida.
No offense.
But another, you know, sort of psychological issue, of course, is addiction besides anxiety, mm-hmm. right? And addiction issues. But there was a guy who in the Seattle area, which this article really confused me because apparently he was going on the 5 to the 405, which is actually possible where I live. Apparently, yes. Ben didn't buzz me. So anyways, as Craig would say.
There's okay, no S on the end of anyways.
So does Craig say the S or not?
Okay. We've derailed, I'm afraid. Michelle is boat anchoring the podcast again.
You're welcome.
Oh, yes.
Cadillac King says there is a 405 in Washington.
Thank you.
Yeah, a guy, Casey Lee Cox, which that sounds like a stripper's name, was arrested after a police chase after he'd stolen a pickup truck. And the guy has multiple arrests for car theft and identity theft. And he admitted to the police that he prefers car theft to the high he gets when using methamphetamines.
Wow. Well, it's cheaper, that's for sure, right? No?
Less jail time.
You can make meth yourself.
Say again, Jeff?
You can make meth yourself.
It's the ultimate DIY science project. Cooking up your breakfast in a teaspoon? Come on. So, Eric, of all the vehicles you've stolen, which one gave you the best high?
That would be the Caterpillar backhoe.
Oh, well, do tell the story then, because I'd like to tie this news article in with some real-life experiences. I think that really adds some texture as well as third-party endorsement.
As well as TMZ's tuning in.
Yeah, I was just MSUing that one.
MSU?
MSU. Making up.
Oh, well, you got to. I called your bluff, and you got to make up
but
a story.
But however, the reason I did pull that one is because a friend of mine, one of my best friends and another guy that I know he's more friends with, got all drunked up down in Indianapolis one night, and outside the hotel room was a bunch of construction equipment. So they got all drunked up, went out there and fired up the construction equipment, moved it around.
Nah, that's funny. Moved it enough to so they'd notice in the morning or something?
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, good thing they didn't overturn it.
When we were in high school, we used to go dirt bike riding in this one area of the forest. They were clear cutting. So me and two of my buddies, we hot-wired one of the construction pieces. It had, like, this big crane on it, like the claw you'd see at a Chuck E. Cheese. Mm-hmm. And we tried picking up the lumber and dropping it on another car, but we could never figure out how to do it, so we just left.
Oh, my God. I hope the statute of limitation has expired.
The statutes of limitation?
Statute.
Statute.
I said statues.
Bring
the first
bring
time.
Bring
the
me statues yeah. bring me. You're poor. You're tired. You're hungry.
Hey, you guys can go insert beep yourselves. All right, I'm trying to make your job easy, Ben.
If you are up north in the UP and you go on some of the logging roads, there is a bunch of interesting, like, log cutting equipment just sitting around in spots that you could always play with.
Ben, you always go up to the UP. Have you ever finagled equipment up there?
Yeah, sure.
Could you try to be engaged for once, Ben?
You may. Yeah, I've done that. Yes, I have.
Okay, good enough.
Thanks.
And Eric, Scott in Cleveland is in the chat. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah, I was going to give a shout out to Scott in Cleveland
because we don't have Peter DiLorenzo here, but we do have the auto mainstreamist. You. So.
Oh, hold on. Let me get my BlackBerry. So
well,
I can make
it
official.
There, go grab it. Yeah. All right, so Michelle, back on track here. Why do you think this guy gets a better high from stealing vehicles than meth? I mean, what psychological, what's going on there? Anything?
Well, I think it's an endorphin rush when somebody does something like that, right? Hmm. I mean, like any of the, like Jeff, when he was talking about that, that's an endorphin rush, right? I mean, when you were out with your friends and you're trying to do something and not get caught. And
we're doing it out of spite.
But it's fun, right? I mean, I one time went on a whole spree in the Mustang when I was a kid and was stealing real estate signs out of the front yards of houses that were for sale.
You rebel.
I know, but you know what the funny thing is I only stole signs that belonged to my dad's company.
So you weren't really stealing them then.
So then when my dad woke up in the morning, all of his company signs were sitting in our garage.
And then he got laid off a week later because he wasn't making any sales.
His daughter was
special. No. He owned the company.
I'm going to steal these signs, guys, and put them
in
the garage. Brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, but it was quite a rush. Kind of funny.
It's hilarious, actually. But for all the wrong reasons. Oh, God. Well, all right. Enough of that. I'm going to very abruptly transition now to my story. I don't know if you guys had a chance to check this one out. It's a video, and it's posted on Jalopnik, but I believe it comes from another website. It looks like it is
Well, it would mean Jalopnik would actually have to create original content.
Well, come on. Nothing on the internet is original anymore. It's all just a big orgy of sharing. It's like an orgy of sharing things.
Great way to describe it, I'd say.
Terrible analogy.
He's a great wordsmith, that Craig is.
He's brilliant.
How did we not have this?
So anyway, we've got a video. It was produced by General Motors in the, I believe, 1970s. And it's called The Bug and the Beetle. And basically, it's kind of like a corporate video that is it's trying to inspire the company's employees. It was made by Pontiac.
I believe this was uncovered by our old Roundabout alum.
Who would that be?
Mr. Michael Berkowski, something like that. Who? I don't remember.
I think he did discover it, and then it went on the Autoblog, and then the Jalopnik stole it from the Autoblog.
I think it was the other way around, actually.
Was it?
Well, yeah.
He seemed to be pretty mad at Autoblog first, so.
Well,
yeah. Well, I found this video somebody else posted on
Autoblog
the internet.
It's easier to be mad at Autoblog than it is for Michael to be mad at Ray, right?
Well, Jalopnik actually cites him, simpatico.ca, so I'm just saying.
Can we just say YouTube?
Well, that's where it was originally.
I'm posted. Just throwing that out there. Or
yeah,
heck, even,
exactly.
Even General Motors, let's go with that.
Yeah, there we
good,
go.
Yeah, General Motors, great.
Good so, on you.
Good idea, Jeff. You are just, you're on tonight. Anyway. The video was produced by Pontiac, and it was supposed to be like this motivational type corporate video to get their employees psyched about putting cars together. Because I guess, and Michelle and Eric, maybe you guys can speak to this, the cars in the 70s, particularly the domestics, were pretty crappy. Yes?
Depends what part of the 70s you're speaking of.
Well, early 70s, we'll say.
Early 70s were pretty good.
Then the later 70s.
Those were piles of stuff.
Okay.
But wasn't this from 73?
Well, whatever. So basically, the corporate video tries to, it's like a cautionary tale. The narrator is warning you of all these import vehicles coming in from Japan and Germany and how the foreign companies are taking market share from General Motors and business and how many jobs are being lost in the process. And this particularly hit home for me because growing up, my father is employed in manufacturing. He's a machinist. And just the number of jobs that have been lost in the state of Michigan has just been terrible over the last...
Is that your dad right there on the video, Craig?
No, he would never ride a Honda, Michelle.
No. The little young kid.
Oh. That woman with the horn-rimmed glasses? No.
The one before.
That was Craig, actually.
Oh. Yeah. You're just a comedian, Ben. So, yeah. this was particularly hit home for me because I believe in American manufacturing, and you can't really buy anything made here anymore, it seems. Everything's made in China.
Anything about the foreign cars that have already been sold. But we can do something about each car that we build. That's the way we beat the competition. That's the way we beat the problem of the beetle and the bug.
Which are the same car?
Well, we're not going to split hairs, Eric.
I mean, you know what's so funny to me about this video is the sort of beatnik-esque Allen Ginsberg style, like, drums going off that are supposed to be striking fear into Americans, because of course only like hippies and beatniks would listen to that kind of, you know, it's like this demonic sound, right? The natives are restless.
See, I like whoever they used for GM had for their announcer back then, I like, because if you listen to like a lot of the commercials from the late 60s, it's like, new for 1968, it's the Pontiac, whatever, you know, the Chevrolet. It's just a really cool cadence this guy had to do his stuff, which you don't hear that kind of upbeat kind of...
We're going to stay a cut above
cadence anymore when you hear announcers on TV.
Yeah. And we're counting. So anyway, the video goes on. It's warning everybody about the dangers of foreigners. Very xenophobic. But it goes on towards the end of the video. They're talking about the workers on the line and how they need to be there. Because I guess there are a lot of there's a lot of absenteeism going on in the plants. And I guess particularly back then, that was a big problem.
I don't see why everyone's saying it's xenophobic. I mean, any company...
I actually don't think it is.
No.
I'm not
saying German cars are awful, don't trust German people.
No, actually, they're saying they're better made than our cars, and you they're guys better get your act together.
They're saying we better work harder because they're coming after us.
Exactly.
Okay.
So back off, Cole.
Yeah.
God.
But go USA at the same time.
Woo.
Well,
too bad we didn't listen.
Yeah, exactly, because, God, we've lost so many manufacturing jobs. That's like the core industry. That's vital to a country's power, I believe. And we've basically just given that away. Why? Eric, I mean, are you passionate about this?
Because we're in flyover territory, and the intellectual elitists on the East Coast, on the West Coast, hate anything to do with flyover area of this country. So the quicker you can get rid of that, the better, because they don't care.
Really? You think that people on the East Coast and the West Coast just don't care, or are you just feeling
like... Well, we know you don't.
Like
I'm just saying.
Like, is that just an easy thing to say?
I'm being semi-facetious when I say that. It's there is about 70% truth to that and about 30% sarcasm to that.
Mm. But... Just, well, the corporations have just given our jobs away.
Well, it depends on where. Again, remember, I said the intellectual elite, because I know enough people in New York. In fact, one of my best friends, his family lost their restaurant when the dockyards in Brooklyn closed because they were right across the street from the dockyards of Brooklyn, and this was a restaurant that went 24/7. Because and they were always busy because
with
of the dockyards. Yeah, with the longshoremen coming in and out
in
all the different shifts. And as soon as those dockyards closed, they had to close their restaurant and and figure out what the hell to do from then.
Yeah.
And,
it's just a huge. It's like a pond. It just ripples out.
Yep. So I mean, that's like certain in certain areas where they understand industry and labor and stuff like that. Yes, I mean and that was in New York, obviously, but just.
I mean, Ben, this issue has to hit hard with you too, being a Flint native. Flint is just devastated by
absolutely.
And this is about when all that started, like this time period right here.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't get why we gave it all away.
In a similar fashion, though, what about all of those people that have, for generations, been working at the NUMMI plants Are they considered intellectual elite living on the left coast? I mean, they're union employees, non-union employees, suppliers, restaurants, roach coaches, you name it. It's one factory. But, I mean, I'm really interested to see what all these guys are going to do when they have to get faced with Elon Musk, who is the epitome of, you know, coastal assholism.
So to speak.
It's like a younger Steve Jobs.
Well, Oakland, I mean, that NUMMI was it was in Oakland, right?
Fremont.
It's Fremont.
Okay, close. All right, 15 miles away.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, I mean, the whole Oakland, Fremont, and you've got naval yards over there, too, which have closed up. In fact, that's where all of Mythbusters stuff is filmed, is an old Navy.
Airstrip or dock, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, there is still some of the docks there, but, yeah, the airstrip that was there is gone and some stuff like that.
By the way, did you guys see Elon Musk in Iron Man 2?
I have not seen Iron
Musky.
Man 2.
Muskie.
I had a Dr. Muskie.
Yeah.
There was an great. Edward Muskie who was the governor of Maine?
Wasn't he the one that was crying during the presidential?
I don't know.
The more you know. So anyway, manufacturing. Thank you for that emasculated chime there, Michelle.
No, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Kid, Ben.
What?
26 and a half minutes in already.
Well, whose fault is that?
I'm trying to spur things along here. Okay,
so am I.
Manufacturing, I'm devastated it's leaving.
Oh,
the country.
Talk right
gone.
Over me. Let's just talk
pull
together.
The charge.
Just
keep
this
charge.
Is like the O'Reilly
factor. This isn't xenophobia.
Oh, my God.
What's our next story, Craig?
Well, you know, I think Eric should tell us what our next story is. But before you get into the story, how does it tie in with our theme, Eric?
The guy was mad.
Good job, Craig. Good job.
I'm not the one that gave the half-hearted answer, Ben.
I told you in the rundown to write down what you thought the relation to each story was. Did you do that? No, you didn't. So
you're not the boss of me, Ben. I'm sorry. Eric, what's up with our next story?
So this one I found – the story I found amusing because it made the rounds because of, like, former NASCAR driver, you know, and then when you actually look – And you read some of NASCAR's releases and stuff like this. He ran in like something only a semi-professional series on the West Coast. He wasn't like a real NASCAR driver.
So he was an
driver.
Elitist then.
Elitist, yes, NASCAR exactly. Driver basically.
Must have been a Prius driver too.
Yeah. The NASCAR Prius Cup.
But anyways, this guy who, if you look at his mugshot picture, looks like he's was on meth.
Isn't this the chef from the Food Network? Sorry. Go.
You've derailed Eric's train of thought.
He decided to take his Corvette for a little high-speed drive on the I-5 and have the cops chase him.
And then the engine blew up.
Yeah, well, it's because he hadn't changed the oil ever.
Oh. Are you sure?
No, I don't know. I'm just making this up.
That adds credibility, you know, when you just make parts
Doesn't
of the
he
story
look like,
up.
He looks like Roddy McDowell or somebody like that. Or
yes,
Terrence
he does.
Stamp. It's Terrence Stamp. That's who it
he
is.
He looks like the bad guy on Die Hard 16.
I'll take your word for that, Jeff.
You know, it's in filming right now.
Okay. He's not really – like the guy drove a – not even semi-pro, like an amateur course, from what I understand,
yeah,
he's
like,
not
like
really
late
a NASCAR driver.
It was like a late model type of car, which is, you know, not quite club series, but not. It's like a semi-professional series.
Mm-hmm. So is he having delusions of grandeur then, Michelle?
That he was in Grand Theft
Good
Auto
job there,
something.
Craig. Good what? Job.
I believe that he probably was living or is – still probably living illusions of grandeur, and it's probably not his fault if you ask him.
Really?
I bet.
Explain. Get psychological profile for this guy, Michelle.
Cuckoo.
This is a traditional Corvette buyer.
Well, he was doing a $130 to a
buck. He didn't have any gold chains, though.
He looks the age,
What
though.
About chest hair? Did he at least have chest hair?
Is
that a Camaro
hair.
Driver?
Couldn't speak to that.
He probably gets it waxed or something.
he is in California.
Yeah, exactly. With his, he goes to the spa and has his asparagus facial rubbed down.
Manscaping is a, you know, full-time pursuit here.
He's still mad that this EV1 was crushed.
Yes, manscaping. Do you know what that is, Craig?
I know you
don't have to shave.
Stay on target.
We're too close.
Stay on target.
Michelle, I do believe you have our next story. God damn it. Now, this is a contradiction of a story, and it comes to us from the New York Times. Basically has to do with airbags and how the current airbags that are in production may actually be a danger.
Masochistic, if you will.
Yes, Ben, masochistic.
No need to sigh. I'm just trying to help, dear.
I don't know that it's so much masochism as it is delusional. Because we believe that airbags make us safer or more safe, actually. Mm-hmm.
How about more safer?
More safer.
Morally safer? 60 minutes.
Safer. They make us the safer drivers.
Safer.
But there's no evidence suggesting that cars with the newer style airbags are more likely to kill you if you have on your seatbelt than cars with older style airbags, because airbags have become too safe and were meant for the 20% of the country that doesn't wear seatbelts.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Beep.
If anything, I think the only reason why airbags have made cars more dangerouser is because now we drive more aggressively, thinking that we're surrounded by all these safety devices.
More aggressively, or
yes,
ist.
I don't think that airbags are a bad thing.
Well, neither are colostomy bags, Jeff. But everything
they
in
still
moderation.
Burst on you.
Exactly. Have you ever snagged one on the corner of a desk? No. You think the oil spill in the Gulf is bad? You haven't seen a mess like that yet. It's
so
a can
wrong.
Of Hormel chili, Eric.
So wrong.
So, Michelle, do you feel safer with a cadre of airbags surrounding you, even if you're not wearing your safety belt?
I've never not worn my safety belt. I've been one of those really anal people about my When I first started learning how to drive, I used to tell my friends it was the virgin belt and that they couldn't ride in my car unless they wanted to die virgins if they wouldn't wear their seatbelt.
Well, that's assuming a lot of people, Michelle, isn't it? Giving them the benefit of the doubt.
It's true, Craig. When you ride in my car,
you'll be a safety.
You wear a seatbelt.
Yes.
Do you make your backseat passengers wear them too?
Yes.
Hmm.
But remember, I'm a mom, so it's just normal for me to go, everybody got their seatbelt on?
Because there's, lots of backseat room in the Z3 coupe.
The Z3,
there's room for
exactly.
a manila folder.
And the Mustang.
The Mustang is dead.
So everybody feels safer with more the airbaggers around them?
I want it to be like the day.
Airbaggers? Is it like teabaggers?
You said it, not me.
Airbags actually scare me. Have you ever seen anybody that's been hit by an airbag?
No, Michelle.
It hurts them. And I had a friend that wrecked his M3, and he was going through an intersection and was doing a crossover turn to the left. So his arm was in front of his face when he got hit and the airbag went off. And his arm flew back and hit him in the face. And he had huge rashes all over his forearm from the airbag and then big old broken nose and a black eye.
He just fell down the stairs, Michelle.
Yeah, the M3 was totaled.
Oh, what kind of, was it the E46 M3, E90?
It was an E46.
Oh, one of my favorite cars. So, staying
on. There's a trade-off for not having your face at the steering wheel. Sometimes if your arm is in the wrong place, you might,
absolutely.
I mean, there's always trade-offs for safety.
Is there?
Yeah.
Yes. Cars are heavier nowadays, but
I've been in two. I've been rear-ended in cars twice. One car had an airbag, one didn't. The one that didn't deploy. And I will say that having your neck snapped around like that, I've had. Well, the second one, I definitely had a concussion from, even though my head didn't hit anything.
That explains everything.
Oh yeah. but yeah, it's. So I wonder, like, airbag deploying, if it would help with the snap of your neck when in the crash like that. But
so you want a rearward airbag too?
No, what I'm saying is because you get when you hit, get hit from behind, you go forward, and then when there's usually a snap back because you're usually pushed into something. So,
Well, when they started, I mean, they were just the driver, right? And then they became the passenger front, and then they started the driver's side, and then they started the passenger side,
side curtain,
knee right?
Airbags.
And now they do the. Now they do the one up in the upper area, right? The kind of like in the
thorax,
something like that. I don't know.
Torso bag.
We're not far from Demolition Man, where it's just going to fill up like a cannoli inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you mentioned BMWs, Michelle. That's a funny thing.
Really?
Yes, your friend.
Why is that, Craig?
Well, our next story deals with them. Isn't that funny? What a coincidence.
That is a coincidence, considering you were supposed to do the airbag article and I wasn't.
Was I? I'm pretty sure your name is next to it in the rundown, Michelle. I mean,
it is now. It wasn't earlier. It's
oh,
okay.
No, it says Craig right now.
Okay, so our next story deals with BMWs, and it comes from the AutoEBid.com site, which is a...
Who hasn't been there?
Everybody's heard of it. Presumably it's from the UK.
Oh, this is the article I found.
Well, why don't you tell us about it, Michelle?
Oh, go ahead. I said to talk about your article you found.
I die inside.
BMW drivers suck.
Each time. This stuff happens. Anyway, according to compucars.co.uk, a BMW may be considered a must-have vehicle in the United Kingdom. But according to a recent survey, statistics indicate that BMW drivers are the worst in all of the realm. I would tend to believe that from what I've seen in the U.S. Thoughts?
Do you think that's a safety issue that where people feel – because like Volvo drivers, for example, like they and there tends to be more BMW drivers now obviously than Volvo drivers where people feel like they're safer because they're supposed to be in this – you know, what I guess we would consider a modern-day tank.
I don't think it's a safety thing. I think it's
that's
an
the previous story,
thing.
Michelle.
I say it's
really?
Ego, it's ego thing.
I drive a BMW, so I'll do what I want.
Yeah, I'm waiting for my BMW with the valet if they ever get back with it.
And little they know, it's actually a BMW Z3.
Ugh, I'm 9.
No, I told you guys the story about the valet. That was like, gave the valet. He said, the valet said, "Which one's your car?" And he goes, "The BMW." And I was at the airport in Orange County, which meant it could have been like one of 10,000 cars.
Mm-hmm.
Area, you know?
Well, Jeff's favorite show. They talk about BMW being a cox car, and in the UK they use
it better.
That. They use that word. They use that C word like we use the word douchebag.
Oh, don't be a cock, Eric. Please.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and BMWs and M3s in particular.
Who knew?
Isn't the number one most stopped car in our country the T? It's one of the Scions, isn't it? It's the T, not the TC. It's
TL.
No idea, Michelle.
That would be an Acura.
Just making stuff I know. Up again. Well, she said
so
the
staying
T,
on target.
Like more than car. TC?
Staying on just target.
TC would
she
be
said,
the coupe.
She said not a TC. I was trying to
XB?
Make a joke.
Not the TC.
The XB? The bread
the
box?
The LP179.
Yeah, the XB. If that's it. I think it's the XB.
So would you guys agree that BMW drivers in the U.S. are bad drivers? In person? I would say
typically,
yes. Because typically they buy the car because it's a status symbol. They... For no other reason, they're not actually going to take it to a track day or something, or you know, drive around a road course or something that would be fun and purposeful. They buy it because it's a status symbol. They get their 528i or their 530i, the cheapest stripped down model they can get. And, I have a BMW, brother. I don't have to use my turn signals.
I can say I do know one BMW driver who is a reasonable person. So.
Yeah.
Well,
they're
not
all
BMers.
Bad, but generally speaking,
he would be the exception that proves the rule. Yes,
weaving in and out of lanes, driving on the shoulder, passing on the sidewalk,
taking up two spots when you go in a parking lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ugh, that's just bad parking karma.
Michelle, what is your stance on this? I mean, come on, You're in L.A.
Yesterday,
it's a sea of BMWs.
Yesterday, I was driving Nubbins, the dog, to the groomer and was driving through downtown, and I got to a stoplight.
The groomer.
On a one-way street. Yes.
Well, your dog's about 2 pounds. It needs a groomer?
No,
you can't just wash it in the sink?
He weighs 18 pounds. He's solid.
You can't just wash him in the sink or something?
No, he gets really long dreadlocks and with burrs and all that stuff. He gets disgusting and stinky.
That's a style in California.
Michelle, you work out of the home. You can't spend a few minutes and brush him yourself?
See, I hate that. I'm working from home. I'm sure Michelle feels the same way. We don't sit at home all day and do nothing. We work.
Oh, that's work? Oh.
We don't have time to do chores and errands.
Okay. Well, maybe Zach has a little more free time. Maybe he's
people call me up like, Jeff, hey, you want to come help me fix my car? I'm like, no, I'm working.
Well, you work out of the home. Come on.
Yeah, that means you're doing nothing, man. Just watching Family Guy. Let's go.
Exactly.
That's funny.
I was driving the dog yesterday to the groomer because he gets really long hair and he needs to be groomed about once a quarter. So I was driving him to the groomer through downtown and it's, 25 to 30 mile an hour speed limits. And I got on a one-way street, I got to a stop sign and there was a guy next to me in a 3 series. I don't know. It was like a 330i, I think. Definitely the stripped down, like most base. And I'm sitting there in the Z3 and the light turned green and the guy rips ahead of me and starts going like 60 miles an hour on where it was like a 25 mile an hour zone. And I just, kind of very gently sort of drove down the street thinking, what a douche that guy is.
I know.
Right?
Exactly.
My pappy just called me, so I had to answer. But anyway.
He wants to know where that damn rent check is.
Exactly.
He said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking.
Don't stop driving that
hot rod focus.
Hot focus.
I think Miridart's right. Miridart says that BMW drivers are today's replacement for the old days Corvette driver. I think in the same way that, the 20th century idea of the Catholic girl is the 21st century homeschooled girl.
What?
Michelle's analogies don't make any sense.
No, they do. Reputations. Like the reputation of the old Corvette driver is kind of now the new BMW driver.
DBs.
I think BMW drivers have taken the role from the Mercedes SL from the 70s and 80s. Yeah. They had that the yuppie vibe.
You know,
to
Jeff,
it.
I was thinking the same thing. Older Mercedes.
Yeah, like from Beverly Hills Cop. it's a movie.
Dallas.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, bad drivers, BMWs, they go hand in hand, it seems. Whether you're on this side of the pond or in the United Kingdom, bad driving doesn't discriminate, So moving right along, I think we'll continue this discussion in just a moment with our blind spot story of the week, where we take a look at some car thieves that got a little more than they bargained for. Plus, we'll get to yet another stupid car trick that you do not want to miss. And that's all coming up in just a moment. But first, I want to talk a little about audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow.
that was regular harmony there, guys. You guys want to start an a cappella group?
Barbershop quartet, maybe.
We could be the Roabettes.
We are delighted to have Audible on board as a sponsor of this fine, fine audio program.
I like to think of them as audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow.
But for a little sentence variety, Ben, I chose to shorten that. Did you know that audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow has more than 75,000 titles in their library.
Audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow has 75,000 titles in their lineup?
No, Ben, they have more than 75,000.
Oh, my gosh.
There's literally something for
audiobooks sound so boring.
I know, doesn't it, Jeff? But no.
Reading for my ears.
Ew. Audiobooks.
Icky.
Can I finish?
Can't finish, can't finish, can't finish, can't finish.
Audiobooks may sound boring, but trust me, they're not. You hearing these books read to you by professional voice actors, by the way. These are not some Eric Tritko off the street that's reading them.
Oh, yeah.
Or a Joel Fetter reading them. That'd be extra grating. These are professionals that read the books to you, and you get so engrossed in them when they're reading them to you. It's amazing. It's like reading with your ears. And we invite you, as our loyal Roundabout listeners, to go to the website audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow and download your free audiobook now. Again, they have more than 75,000 titles on hand to choose from. Romance novels, fiction, nonfiction, live performances, history. They've got everything there. You'll find a book that you will love. I guarantee that.
Oh, Craig, I can't tell you. I love a good professional telling me some information.
Do you now, Michelle?
I do.
Okay. Well, I understand we have a pick of the week as well from Audible. And Eric, I believe you have it for this week.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell us about it? What is it?
The book is called, and it's actually automotive themed pick.
High five for that.
None of that ghost stuff up in here.
and coincidentally, the guy in here drives a BMW. it's called The Art of Racing in the Rain by Garth Stein. And a lot of people have gotten caught out by the cover of the book because it has this...
I was trying to think it was a
golden retriever or a lab, but I couldn't remember.
He hit a dog?
No.
Scumbag.
Worried for a second.
The premise of the book is it's a story of a family taken from the dog's perspective. So the dog essentially is the narrator of the book.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and it's a story about a family and a guy who aspires to be a professional race car driver. Works at a dealership as like a service manager kind of guy, and then races on the weekend and teaches and stuff like this. And he meets a girl and gets married and has a daughter, and wife has some health issues, and there's some other complications through in there. But here's what I'll say: it's not a fabulous book. It's a good. It would be what I consider a great airplane book. It's an enjoyable read. Little predictable, but and the ending is kind of predictable as well. But through all that, it was still an enjoyable book to listen to. And it talks about the guy of all the things he goes through. But the twist on it was the fact that it was taken from the dog's point of view.
That's cool. That's really cool.
And the dog's name is Enzo.
Nah.
Essentially like 7 hours of barking. I don't know if I'm up for that.
Whimpering too when they get...
No, not so much. And like one of the cool things is the dog wants to be in the dog's next life, it wants to be a human. Mm-hmm. It's a whole Zen thing.
Well, Ben, do you have a little clip of that you could play? You could hear a sampling of it?
I just might. Let's take a listen, shall we?
The door opens, and I hear him with his familiar cry, "Yo, Zoe!" Usually I can't help but put aside my pain and hoist myself to my feet, wag my tail, sling my tongue around, and shove my face into his crotch. It takes human-like willpower to hold back on this particular occasion, but I do. I hold back. I don't get up. I'm acting.
I'm on the edge of my seat, Ben.
As am I. That actually sounds like a very fun book.
There's a couple times where the guy's driving on a racetrack, and one of the places he goes to is Thunder Hill in California, and I've actually been to Thunder Hill. And the way they describe the lap is exactly how the track is. So I mean, the guy who wrote the book obviously is into cars, yeah. And you know has done some track days and stuff. So, anyways, it's a good book. It's definitely worth a listen. Seven, 8 hours, not a ton of time to invest. But
how much did it cost, Eric?
It was free.
Wait,
free. Free.
Are you saying that if somebody goes to the website audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow, they can sign up for a free 14-day trial on the website,
yes,
and get a free download of a free audiobook to listen to?
That would be correct.
Well, surely this thing expires after the 14 days is up. So if I don't renew,
no, Ben,
I mean, I'm just going to...
The way I understand it, you keep that book.
No.
How many companies or services out there today give you something for free to keep?
There's no such thing as a free lunch, Craig.
Not in today's day, you know. I mean, they're always out to scalp you. But not Audible. They give back. They are givers. Free. Free.
So you're saying that audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow is so convinced that I'm going to like audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow
and the free and the audio content you can download from the site,
that they're willing to give me something away for free.
Absolutely.
All
that
right.
is an ironclad guarantee right there.
Well, where can I get my free book?
For hopefully the last time, audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow.
Oh, sorry. I'm very forgetful.
I know you are, Ben. You got early Alzheimer's.
You know what's interesting is when I went to audible. Whatever.
Michelle, for Christ's sakes, we've said it 15 times.
audiblepodcast.com/roundabout.
It's
and
even
I
the
signed
rundown.
Up my 2-week membership.
Yeah.
I noticed something interesting. You can get everything from a book that is normally $25 to download to a single episode of Car Chat, for example, is considered normally 99 cents.
Who
and it's the same thing. So I took the opportunity to download a book that was, I think, $23.
How many hours, Michelle? That's how you truly measure the weight of a book.
8.5.
That's it?
Mine is like 9-something.
You know, if you really want to stick it to the man, you got to get one that's like 24 hours long or something.
But she did get the most expensive one.
Yeah, see, typical I'm like the woman. One that goes down the right-hand side of the column on the menu and goes lobster, 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 you know.
You're a true auto journalist then.
And you drive in the HOV lane with only one person in the car.
Exactly.
She has her inflatable simulant.
My name's Frank Ann Bacon. Thank you for joining us.
What happened?
Only some people are going to get that.
Something about bacon, I heard.
Something ropey.
But
anyway.
audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. We thank them for their support. And we invite you to download a free audiobook today. Anyway, with that, I think it's time to move on to our blind spot story of the week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. And this week we've got a story about Mischens.
What?
about mischief. That was my misspelling I was joking with Ben about earlier when we were working on the rundown, and I left it there.
So, good job.
It's about mischief, you know. So, Jeff, you found this story on the Associated Press. I had quite a chuckle when I heard it, when I read it. It looks like a couple of
You're thinking you're reading this on audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. You can't do it with just anything, Craig.
I hate you, Ben. I really do.
I'm sorry.
So, anyway, this story's on the Associated Press, and it looks like a group of thieves broke into a crematorium, and they stole the hearse that was in there, and I think they stole some other stuff as well. But it turns out when they stole the car, there was a dead body in the back.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, sad trombone indeed. That's Grand Theft Corpse right there.
Because, you know, they had that late pickup, and they decided, you know, I'm really tired and don't think we're going to really put this in the cooler and start working on it tonight. We'll just leave it in the car. It'll, you know, ferment overnight in there.
Well, the very last sentence in the article may disagree with that, Eric. It says the funeral home or the crematorium, says it was not unusual for the body to have been left in the vehicle, which was locked in the building. So apparently that's commonplace for them. They're just too lazy.
See, all the funerals I've ever been to, first I just wanted to say I'm glad this didn't happen in Florida. All the blind spots lately have made Floridians look awful. So I wanted to stick it to the Ohioans.
Well, I thought you were saying it would have been awful because of the Florida heat.
That too.
Exactly.
Oh.
But every funeral I've ever been to, you know, the body's on display and it goes straight into the car. Why is there that interval where the car is locked with the body inside of it?
They had to – well, it's a crematorium. They were going to go roast it or whatever it is they do.
Yeah, yeah.
Craig.
You know what? I've never been to
Don't forget the marshmallows.
I've never been to a cremation in this country. But I know in the UK, I went to one and there was a cremation funeral where the body kind of came out on this conveyor belt and in a casket.
Sounds like a Japanese sushi restaurant.
And then it like kind of made this little route in front of where the officiator was, whatever he was. And then it went into – there were like these little flappy door things, and the casket went in, and you could see like flames when the little doors opened, and it went in right there, and everyone was sitting there.
Oh, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
It was the creepy – it was my great grandmother-in-law, I guess. And
I didn't even know who it was.
No, it was my great-grandmother-in-law, and I was completely freaked out because I thought that, you know, like when my dog dies, you know, I've had dogs die over the years, and you kind of tell the vet, please cremate the body, and then you go back a couple of weeks later and you pick up the ashes in like a little urn thing, and then you know, as one does, you go sprinkle
them in the marigolds.
Right, but in this case, we literally had to watch Grandma get burnt. I felt like I was at Auschwitz.
Oh, no.
I did. Wow. It was horrible. No, it was really horrible. I was not prepared
for that. Pretty sure that's
that.
Not like Auschwitz, but...
They don't do that here, do they?
Concentration camps? No.
No, they don't make people...
Federal relocation camps.
Oh, okay.
Or federal re-education camps. Yes.
Okay.
No, they don't make people sit in a, you know... Like they're at a funeral and then watch the casket and body go into a
I'm not
oven.
Sure, Michelle, but... Hey, let's take a peek in the garage. Change the subject. Change the subject.
Silky smooth.
Oh, she purrs like a Maine Coon. Ben's going to go look at Maine Coon cats this weekend. Aren't you, Ben?
I'm getting Banofsky-fied.
What are you going to name it?
Put pictures up, Ben.
I'm telling him to get an Asa cat. That would be much cooler than a Maine Coon.
Maine Coons are like dogs. They're so cool.
But they're big dander balls, though, aren't they?
No, they don't shed like normal.
Okay. Well, staying on target, talking about what we had in the garage this week. Ben, you were in... A very interesting vehicle. Give us your take on the Smart 4.2. You had
Smart
that for a couple
Smart 4.2.
Or Fordu.
Smart 4.2. I don't know. I forget how to pronounce it.
Fort Whoa.
Fort Whoa.
The Smart Fort
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa, Marty. Well, what? How'd you like the not-so-smart car?
Yeah. They should call it the dumb.
That's the opposite. All right. What is it?
Yeah, I was in the Smart 412 for a couple of days. Wow. You guys know I'm no auto enthusiast, but what a horrible car.
Okay, well, describe what was horrible about it then.
Well,
please.
Everyone's heard by now, I'm sure, about the transmission. But you don't realize until you get in it how awful it is. I mean,
how awful is it, Ben?
How awful is it? It's so bad. No, you pulling out through an intersection, right?
You should always be careful when you pull out, by the way.
Oh,
wrong episode, Jeff.
Don't even go there, Michelle.
Just let it die, Michelle.
I forgot to tell you, I pulled out and put back in while you guys were talking earlier.
We could tell.
Aww.
It went.
It sounded like one of those jaw harps from the South. Except more grating.
So I was driving the Smart 4.2. No, pulling out through an intersection.
Pulling out and then eject. Wait a minute.
Right as you're in the middle of the intersection, it gets ready to shift out of first gear and into second gear. And when that happens, it's like stepping on the brake.
So the car, well, it's a case of things have to get worse before they get better, right?
Exactly. It's so jarring. And I'm sure you can get used to it if you owned one of these cars, but it's such an awful experience. I mean, every time it shifts gears, it lurches back.
It's like a shovel to the back of the head.
Exactly. And I don't know. It's a challenge. It's a pretty shaky ride. Which, I don't know, in part you would expect with such a short wheelbase car. but it's especially rigid.
Mm-hmm. How was the acceleration, Ben? With the, I believe it's a three-cylinder Mitsubishi engine.
I don't know. It's not as it's pretty awful at first, but I think you could get used to it. Honestly, I got on the highway last night with it to see how that would be, mm-hmm. and it wasn't totally scary, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, once you get up through the gears and it's up to its top gear, you're okay in general.
Okay.
But I don't know. I think you'd be okay driving on the highway, not too freaked out. Okay.
Well, maybe I'll take it for the weekend because it is still available.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel like you needed one of those bicycle flags on it? I mean, did you feel like the other drivers could see you?
Well, you know, it wasn't on the highway long enough to really feel too weirded out.
He just went from Levan to, I would say Nürburgring, but
Nürburgring.
Thank you, Nürburgring.
No, I mean, it's a short drive home for me, so I wasn't on the highway very long. But I will say this, got out of my apartment this morning and was coming to work, walked out to the parking lot, and the two maintenance guys are crowded around the car. And
it looks like one of those Chrysler Gem electric vehicles.
It does.
Except smaller.
And the first thing the guy says is, "You think if all three of us got on one side, we could tip it right over?" And then the guy wanted to know, was it one of them electrics? And I had to say, no, actually, it actually runs on gasoline.
Gasoline.
Where do they put the engine in one of these things?
Well, you got to put your feet through the floor.
I reckon it's in the trunk.
Yeah. Did you feel manly driving that thing?
No. Did you feel womanly? Have you driven it?
She drives a Sophia.
No, I don't. No, I'm just curious. Just curious, because I think they're like a lady's handbag. It's like the extra handbag
accessory.
It's
like a Mercedes SLK.
As now, Jessica famously said on her Mingle Media show this week, she was explaining handbags to some of the guys there, especially one guy from Federated Media, who was saying he didn't understand it. He didn't understand why women carry expensive handbags. She said, "It's like I'm wearing my husband's paycheck on my arm."
Oh, that's charming.
Class is charming. So this is like having the fun bag, right?
Well, isn't it fun bags?
Right.
Yes.
No, I mean, I can see people, you know, liking it as a cute car, but
once you remove the stock engine and put the engine and transmission from a Suzuki Hayabusa into the back, so, you know, actually has some power, then I'm sure it'd be fine.
Down syndrome.
But it's still not safe. I mean, right?
Actually, well,
it's got the Tritium safety cell.
Fifth Gear did a crash test of one a few years ago, and it actually performed quite well.
Well, I heard they brought Campbell's Soup in to help design the
crash zone.
Yeah.
The IIHS just did a
crash test. That hurts.
Of the smart car against a golf cart.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
I do like this car because the one I was driving was the Cabriolet version, and I like me a convertible. Even though I think that's kind of a chick thing.
Yes.
But
can you put
see when Ben
in the
was
thing?
Younger, he got into it. He was in soccer, and one of the kids kicked him down there and kicked him a vagina.
So. That's nice, Craig. Thanks. Craig, you got to drive it around the building.
I did.
What did you think?
It's horrible. this is all I'll say about it. I'll probably have a review of it on our website, roundaboutshow.com, in the coming weeks. But all I will say is that I went to use the manumatic mode, and the shift knob fell off in my hand. That's how well-constructed it is. So.
Well, what are they giving you in terms of the Mulroney on this? Because I'm really curious because I know that there's an excess of these pre-ordered cars sitting on lots that people ended up declining to take delivery on. And so now they're trying to get rid of an excess of inventory that – because they only manufactured to order.
What?
I mean, did they give you any sort of idea of what the sticker is?
The Mulroney wasn't in it, was it, Ben?
No. Someone took it.
Disfortunately.
I think they're giving them away.
They should. They are, well, yeah. On a much happier note, though, I was in a vehicle earlier in the week. Another Subaru, in fact. It was the Subaru Legacy GT Limited. And as I mentioned in my previous sort of review of a Subaru, I didn't really understand them. You know, they're kind of an enigma to me. But with the Legacy, I finally am starting to get the Subaru vehicles. You know, Eric, they've got this sort of quirkiness about them that I think is not for everyone, but I'm starting to understand. Because this was actually a very nice midsize sedan.
I like the Legacy.
It was a nice car. Did you drive it, Ben?
I didn't drive this one. I've driven the previous Legacies, yeah. And very much enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I wouldn't say it's the best in class in any one area, but it's an all-around, very good midsize sedan. You get all-wheel drive, obviously. The particular model I was driving, the GT, has the turbocharged boxer 4, the 2.5 liter, and I think that's somewhere in the neighborhood of 265 horsepower. So it's got some get up. It was equipped with the 6-speed manual. Fun to drive. Nice driving car, really. Nice interior, too. No squeaks or rattles, which was my main bitch about the WRX I drove.
Did it have the Macintosh stereo? Or don't they offer that anymore?
I don't believe it had that, no. I think it was just a regular. It might have been a Bose or something.
No highs, no lows. Must be Bose.
Yeah.
Interesting. But, yeah. Cool.
Cool. Oh, yeah. So.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. The Federizer. Confederate sound.
You've effect. Just been Federized.
So, yeah, a very nice car. Fun to drive. Stuck to the road like glue. It had sticky Bridgestone Potenza tires on it. Blast through the to drive through the curves. Comfortable, roomy. The only major gripe I had about it was a little bit loud on the highway. Not bad, but louder than other cars in its class, which is probably part of
it. Was that engine noise or that thump, 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 thump boxer noise?
Oh, that tractor sound? No, yes. This was actually quiet. And
oh.
So I was shocked because I was expecting this diesel tractor running on 2-cylinder sound, but no. Little noisier on the highway, which probably had something to do with the tires. They were low profiles, 18-inch rims, so not a lot of meat there. And the dashboard was all hard plastic. Didn't like that very much. However, for hard plastic, it was pretty good looking. It was had a nice texture to it, and it was not shiny. So
that's always been my complaint. I mean, I know a lot of people like Subarus, but every Subaru I've been in has this hard plastic mm-hmm. interior that is, I just think, awful. But I guess you're right. Of this car, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, it was a nicer
definitely,
interior,
definitely.
As hard plastic goes.
Now, one thing surprised me. The car did not like to be lugged along. My Focus, for instance, I can take that thing in fifth gear at 25 miles an hour at idle, basically, and the engine is smooth, no bucking, no kicking, nothing. It's just obviously very slow to accelerate, but it's not complaining about being in too high of a gear. The Subaru, on the other hand, you'd be in third gear, for instance, at 30 miles an hour, and the tach would be somewhere 1,500 RPM. And the thing would start chugging. It's kind of disconcerting. Now, it could be geared very high because it's a turbo and because they want to get, you know, the best mileage possible out of it. But I was kind of surprised by that it was as choppy as it was at those low engine speeds and higher gears. So that was another potential gripe. But, I mean, just adjust your driving accordingly, I think, would never be an issue. But, Eric, you were also in something as well.
Two, in addition.
Yes. Tell us about one of them.
On.
Yes.
That prostitute, what?
Oh.
What?
He was on something. Eric, what were you driving this week?
Well, most of this week I have had a GMC Terrain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine, although I do find the dash interesting because it is all hard plastic, but it's a two-tone hard plastic, and the alternate tone is, I don't know if it's a spray-on color or whatever it is, but it looks like a football. Because of the color brown. And the grain, yeah, it's this very leathery kind of look.
It's pigskin.
Yes, exactly. It's exactly what it is.
Or an older woman's face, right?
Just no.
Leathered.
No.
Okay.
No. A football, I can show it to you when okay. we get out of here, and you'll say, you're right, that does look like a football. other than that, it's fine. It's got the V6 in it, and I really don't find the V6 to have any more power than the four-cylinder.
It's just a 3-liter, right? I mean, well, good power output numbers, what, 265? But
yeah, but I mean, I had the four-cylinder Equinox about a month ago, and I don't think that this thing really accelerates any better than the four-cylinder Equinox, so for whatever reason. Other than that, room is fine. You know, the sliding back seat's great. The one thing that really pisses me off about the car is it has Express down on the windows, which everything does, but it doesn't have Express up. And now it has a, you know.
Oh, that's a big
bitch
of mine.
That's a GM thing.
No. Yeah, I mean, I can operate. I can remote start it. I can open and close the tailgate off the key fob. But come on. I mean
that's a bitch I have with all automakers, because spend the 40 extra cents on the 4 extra relays or diodes or whatever the hell it is you need, and make all the power windows power up and power down. You know, one touch up and down.
But I mean, other than that, it's fine. There's nothing spectacular about the car, but
it's a good
all
around car.
But yeah, I mean, it's a fine all around car. If you were to buy one, you'd be happy with it because it does everything you want it to do. It's reasonably quiet. Mileage is like 23-24 in mixed driving. Yep. You know, about what you'd expect. It's fine.
Now, what else were you in, Eric? I think that would have a little more emotion to it for you.
Yeah, this was yesterday I got to ride a Triumph Rocket 3 Roadster.
That's a motorbike.
It is a motorcycle.
Does it have a sidecar?
No.
Oh.
So that means you wouldn't be
interested. How do they call a motorcycle a roadster?
It's called a roadster because it was they have a couple different versions of it, and this one is more of a stripped-down model because it's no windscreen. No bags. The back seat is, or the back part of the, basically the seat is very small. It's meant mostly for like one person to ride. Even though that the motor on this thing is a 2300cc inline three.
Yes. 2300.
2300cc.
So a 2.3-liter engine on a motorcycle.
Yes.
Rocket ship.
It has 146 horsepower, 165 foot-pounds of torque. Which it needs because this thing weighs 822 pounds.
Ooh.
Yes.
In other words, it would crush me when I drop it.
To pick it off the side stand isn't too bad. It's a little cumbersome at speeds under, say, 20 miles an hour. But once you're going, it actually hides the weight reasonably well.
That's the size of an obese shut-in. 800 plus pounds, yeah. Eric.
And trust me, this thing is, it's a wide. I'll get to that in a second.
that flatulent sound.
Well, it actually sounds like a Porsche. It really does sound like a air cooled Porsche, even though it's a liquid cooled motor. It sounds like an air cooled Porsche system. But this thing is so wide that I kind of got the idea of what a woman feels like when she goes to the gynecologist and is put in the stirrups. Because, I mean, your
awesome
legs.
Awesome analogy.
You would like that, Craig.
I'm not kidding. I say because it's wide and the tank is wide. Your legs are so spread out trying to sit on this
giving
thing.
Giving birth, right?
Oh. But all in all, it wasn't bad. I put 180 miles on it yesterday. It was interesting. I'm not a cruiser person. Those aren't the motorcycles that I'm into, but it was an interesting bike, and I'm glad I got to ride it for a day.
Well, very nice. We appreciate your review. Now, you said it sounded like a Porsche.
Yes.
An inline three? That's kind of interesting.
The exhaust note sounds exactly like an air-cooled Porsche six-cylinder.
Kind of a warble to it.
The power in this thing is really good because, as you were saying, like you could be in fourth or fifth gear at 2,000 RPMs and just twist the throttle and it would just go. I mean, it had unbelievable torque.
Lots
and
of giddy up when you give
very
it spurs.
Very smooth too. Very 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 smooth.
It's very mean looking. I mean, I'm looking at that profile picture that Ben has up on the screen right now, and it's kind of unlike any of the bikes I see riding around here. You know. In terms
Holy
of
crap,
cruisers.
That's a chunky thing.
Yeah,
I
it
said
is.
It's a big bike.
There's
it's
a lot
bike.
To that bike.
It's a hog, prize winning something or other. I don't know. It's obese there. I mean, yeah, awkward.
Good job, Craig.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here. Come on. Who else is going to insult everybody and drag the show down? That's my job.
And make himself awkward.
Well, I don't have to make myself awkward, Michelle. I do it on my own.
I know, you were born that way.
And it just happens. All right?
Is that your video, Eric?
No, I haven't edited mine yet.
Okay. So with that, we can move on to our next segment, Stupid Car Trick.
Go on, boy. Go get it. Come on now.
Okay, so everybody knows, or if you're an auto fan, you should know, Volvo is offering a new feature called City Safety that is designed to stop your Volvo at low speeds around town to avoid, if you're distracted, you won't rear-end the person in front of you. The company has demonstrated this feature in many videos on the web, and it's really pretty interesting the way it works, the way that the car can actually stop itself in an emergency so you don't have to worry about smashing into the person ahead of you. So we have a video here for our stupid car trick of the week where something went wrong with the test. Okay, what's so funny, Eric?
That this happened at a public thing in front of about 1,000 people.
Well, let's.
But it's not. I mean, let's be clear with this. I mean,
let's
Craig,
be
if
clear
you ever
with
used
this.
Well, let's discuss it. But let me play it first, and Craig, you can
I'll
describe what's going on here.
All right, get it up, Ben.
Get it up
now.
Heard that more than once. You know what I mean?
Oh God!
Awkward. While I get them, just filling time here.
I know you are stalling for time. All right, so we got a garage. We've got the Volvo, which looks like an S60. Is that an S60?
Yes.
Gold, bronzy color, comes out of the garage. They've got a truck set up, like a dump truck type thing set up in front. The guard drives right at it, trying to demonstrate the feature, and it just plows right into the back of the truck. Doesn't even slow down. That would be called an epic fail, I think.
I like how the windshield wipers come on.
That's a safety feature, so you can see something. You can see that you've hit the car ahead of you.
And the airbags did not
smashes right into it.
The airbags did not deploy.
This car actually contains collision.
Well, the guy walked away.
I think it was a dummy.
Aw. Well, there goes that. So yeah.
So Michelle, what do we need to know? What's our cautionary piece you want us to know about this?
Well, I'm sure that some of you, if not all of you, have actually experienced this technology before on test drives. But the way it was explained to me was that it was based on a statistic about how many crashes happen at just above rolling speed. And so it's actually meant to take into effect at 25 miles per hour and under.
Actually, it's 18.
And it's less than.
There you go.
30 kilometers per hour.
Go on.
Right. They set themselves up for a fail on this one. And that dump truck probably has like a huge amount of clearance underneath it, where the little sensor thing that's sending out the signal isn't getting even read because it's hitting underneath the truck, right?
Well, just making excuses now, Michelle.
No, it might be hitting the pumpkin on that dump truck, like if we're lucky.
Because all the test videos they show of it have those big, they were like inflatable bags or these big car things.
When I did it, it was at a concrete bollard, like parking lot bollard, kind of like freeway separator thingy. What do you call
it? A Jersey wall.
Is that what it's called?
Concrete Armco.
That's what I've always called it.
Concrete. Well,
when I had the XC60, like as a press vehicle, they actually included three plastic barriers.
Yeah, we got that too.
And I mean, that way you could set it up and play with it all you want. But I thought about that too. I thought maybe the clearance on the truck was just too high.
I think somebody forgot to turn it on, personally.
I don't think you're supposed to be able to turn it off, are you?
No. But it doesn't seem, there's not a driver driving it. The airbags didn't go off. So I wonder if this car was even on. I mean, it just. It's like they just rolled it towards the
Let's
truck.
Let's push the car into this truck.
This will be fun.
Well, it is funny. Or it's stupidity.
It is funny. It is funny.
That's what happens
but
when you sell to China, I guess.
Is anybody going to trust this technology or, for example, the adaptive speed control or when they...
I literally clicked that 30 seconds ago and it just now played. I'm sorry. That wasn't my fault. Thank you, Apple.
I don't know if that was a fail or a win.
Or as Craig says, slow time.
Okay, well, yeah, if you're going to test your safety features in the future, please make sure that they work. And
well,
I invite you... What?
I think the moral to this story is even though your car has all the safety equipment, you still are responsible for driving your own car.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Per usual, don't be a dumbass.
So Mud is saying in the chat room, it doesn't help that Volvo Technology is using Chinese products. Do we really think
that? Well, Volvo's Chinese now.
Mm-hmm. They come with a box of wontons in the glove.
Volvo.
It's Chinese now, but that's only like a month and a half old.
Sorry, that was really bad.
Technology.
Are we done now?
Please.
All right.
Well, let's wrap this sucker up.
I invite you, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, I invite you to check out the video in the links in the show notes on our website, roundaboutshow.com. And we'd like to credit the video is posted on YouTube, and we found it via carchat.com. Thecarchat.com.
Don't forget that the.
Is very important. Yes, thecarchat.com. Check it out there. All right, and I think with that, you know, we can... Oh, crap.
For Christ's sakes, can we get that?
Ben, get the phone this time.
Incoming message.
Do not let it go to voicemail.
Michelle, your turn.
Eric's
no, I missed the call last week. Make Jeff get it.
Jeff, can you get
that? He's not getting out of the chair.
Where's the phone?
Jeff, it's under the pillow.
Oh, the dog's sitting on it. Hello?
Yeah, you missed it.
Hey, guys, I was calling in because I had an old highway hearsay I don't think I really told anybody, and I totally forgot about until today. And I figured maybe it'd be good for the show tomorrow. Make up for me missing again.
Tomorrow, but you mean today?
No story told by me can measure up to a story told by somebody famous. So, hold on a second.
Well, hello there, everyone. Rich brought me in here because he said he had something to say, and it was better said by me. So, a few months back, he was on his way to work, going to slave away his day, wrangling up some cars. Anyway, he's just pulling on Highway 20, and this tanker truck goes by. You know, that normal, long, cylindrical-looking thing, and normally carrying something explosive or dangerous and acidic and what have you. Well, there wasn't any markings denoting just what kind of havoc this thing would rain should it be.
Is this story going to take like 35 minutes because Jimmy Stewart's going to tell it?
Right there out in front of you.
Okay.
So, I had to take a better look at it. He got up next to it, and it didn't really have any danger warnings on it written or the little symbol there, you know, provided by the EPA or whoever promotes all that garbage. So, took to reading the side there when he got up on it. It was a tanker truck full of animal fat. It said, quite frankly, the only sort of warning or descriptor on it to the public. Not for human consumption. Well, who could argue that? Because it's not gravy skin, so who wants a, you know, it's not going in my mouth, I'll tell you that. Well, that's the long of it, so there you go, everyone.
Emphasis
God
on the
bless
long.
You all, and have yourself a merry, merry go on the Roundabout Show.
And Gorski C in the chat says, animal fat, question mark? So it's supplying McDonald's. So have a tanker truck full of animal fat. Why? Why? It makes no sense to me. Are they going to go make soap or something? I mean,
biodiesel.
Exactly.
Animal fat?
So, you know, I had a highway hearsay that could take in about 30 seconds.
Well, save it for next week. Put it in your back pocket, Eric, and just...
Well, because I'll forget by then. But basically, I saw Panos Esperanto on the way over here.
Over here?
Over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you take a picture?
No, because I couldn't grab myself.
Doesn't count.
Liar.
Well...
We're done here.
Thankfully...
I saw a Lamborghini Escort GT over here.
It was on Middle Belt and Plymouth Road.
Well, thank God that truck was labeled, clearly labeled, not fit for human consumption, because you never know when a fistful of animal fat isn't safe. Right, Michelle?
You know, the labels on all of those trucks always make me chuckle. Because who's just going to dive in to one?
The new Zach Bowman.
You never know.
I don't have a story.
What was that, Michelle?
We
were busy talking over you. Could you repeat that?
No. I was just saying, it makes me laugh when they label how they label all of those. Like, you'll see them that say milk.
Do they?
Milk.
Yeah, we're talking about boobs again, Michelle.
That's a body good.
Yeah, we're talking about Hooters trucks.
Okay. Going to deliver the hot wings, right?
That's all you can think about, isn't it?
Is food. I'm such a fat kid.
Well, so how did this guy get to us? How did he get our number?
You know, he probably – Jimmy Stewart is very tech savvy. He has an internet connection. I think he uses AOL. And he called our number via Skype, as I recall. It's the ROAB hotline. And the number
– Oh.
If you are curious and any of you out there listening in cyberland want to call us and leave us a message, we invite you to. The number is 1-559-ROAB-411. Or, again, that's 1-559-762-2411. One more time?
No, yes,
the
yes,
one
yes.
That's one more time, not one as part of the phone number. Just
oh,
so I'm clear,
I thought
okay?
you meant...
No. Let me start again. Oh. It's 1-559-762-2411.
Now, didn't you leave a one out there?
No.
You said one more time.
It's the foreign country code for the land of roundabout.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a kingdom, really, Michelle. But yes, please,
yeah.
I invite any of you out there, all of you, in fact, to call us on our hotline, leave us messages, and you can be just like Jimmy Stewart and get your message played here live.
Hot.
Provided it is appropriate and positive and showing us in a positive light. Right, Ben?
That's right, Craig.
You know, Jonathan Brown didn't phone in this week. I'm kind of disappointed.
That's kind of funny. Oh,
warning. Warning.
Just hang up on
me. Incoming message. Incoming message.
Hey, guys. It's Jonathan Brown in Portland, New Jersey. Just wanted to comment that I also test drove the smart car, and it was without a doubt a big piece of, or actually a little piece of
it's like
poo-poo.
It's like rabbit feet.
More polite than you, Craig.
Scoffell in it. No acceleration. Dealer wanted me to take it out on the highway. I was like, not even bothering. He said, accelerate. I said, my foot to the floor. It's not going anywhere. So, P.S., I agree with you guys. That car should be canceled right now. No reason to bring it in. No reason to try and sell it. Just a quick experiment in
disappointment.
Foolery. The fact that it's two seats is even worse. They'll try again. Maybe the next smart car will be better. Anyways, thanks again. Have a nice evening.
And thank you, Mr. Brown. He is more reliable than Old Faithful, Ben. Set your watch by him.
That's right, Craig.
Isn't he awesome?
It's called dedication, Michelle. You know?
You know who else is dedicated? Can I tell you something?
Please
on
do.
Our Facebook Roundabout Show fan page, which you know is facebook.com/roundaboutshow,
yes.
We had over 200 visits this week.
Hot!
Which just means our fans love us.
Our fan love us. I agree. And we thank all of our
fans. They love us 200 times.
They love us 200 times. And I love that they all post stuff on there.
Awesome. I mean, look how many fan we have. We have 165 fan right now, Eric.
And they're loyal.
They're like Confederate soldiers or something. Fighting for their cause. The roundabout cause, you know? You can... This is an audio podcast, Eric. People can't hear you nodding. All right? Yes.
That's the implant.
We're not talking about breasts.
Oh, for crying.
Can we wrap this thing up?
Yes, we can wrap this up. But yes, thank you, fans out there. Again, please give us a call on the roundabout number, 1-559-762-2411. We would love to hear from you. Anyway, Jeff from Autotropolis, thank you for joining us as always.
You're welcome.
Well, I trust you'll be back next week, no?
I surely will.
Well, we look forward to having you on again.
That deserves some very polite applause.
A standing ovation.
Very good, Jeffrey. Very, very good.
And I was supposed to give my little sister Katie a shout-out. She just moved to Texas.
What was that?
I was supposed to give my little sister Katie a shout-out because she just moved to Texas.
Where'd she move in Texas?
Conroe.
Conroe! That's Sugar Land.
The home of Colin Edwards.
You guys can shoot your guns in the air together, Michelle, and you go back to visit Nana Naranjo.
Conroe, Texas is the Roswell, New Mexico of Texas.
You had a UFO crash there?
No, it's just the mentality's about the same. I actually have a lot of friends from Conroe. It's kind of funny.
Well, it explains Colin Edwards then.
Well, Michelle, MissMotormouth.com and Miss Motormouth on Twitter. We always appreciate having you on.
That you did a very good job at sounding sincere about that.
Well, I am sincere. Michelle, that you have cut me to the quick yet again.
You squeaked.
I'm trying to be sincere here, Michelle, and you just don't buy it.
I know. No, thank you, Craig. Thank you.
So, and why don't you plug some of the other show you're working on? Or should I say shows, plural?
She works hard for the money.
So hard for the money.
You know what's really funny about the shows right now is that there's a lot of crossover going on. So the Mingle Media TV show on Tuesday nights is getting actual auto line after hours and open line show fans and roundabout show fans that are coming on. And the funniest thing is I've actually seen people during open line on Monday nights in the chat room come from Mingle Media TV, which is primarily mommy blockers, and I see them sign in and then sign out. Like they're completely confused by the car people, but they're trying.
Well, they get bonus points then. So what shows are you in charge of, Michelle, and where can the peeps out there watch them? Give us some URLs.
Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock, MingleMediaTV.com.
Eastern time, right? 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern time is the open line call-in show and chat room.
Wow. You just get around.
I actually found myself yesterday. Somebody in California was on the phone with me. They were in Northern California. And he said, "What time is it?" And I said, "Oh, it's 2:15 California time." Because I tend to talk to people in Detroit more than I talk to people in California.
Because we're cool over here in the Eastern time zone.
I know. I constantly have to clarify Eastern Standard Time.
No, I'm not cool, and I live in the Eastern time zone. I'm dragging the average down, though, I think. But, yeah.
All by yourself.
Yes. I'm an outlier that's dragging the average.
That's
where are the websites, Michelle? Please.
Okay, so you can listen to Open Line on Autoline TV.
That's our website.
We even set up a convenient
Inside News.
We can set up a convenient short URL for it, didn't we, Michelle?
We did. It's bit.ly/ not roundabout show. open line.
I give my.
I know. I was getting ready to say roundabout.
Or as I heard someone on CNET say earlier this week, It's bit.ly/openline.
I always call it bit.ly.
Yeah, but it's bit.ly.
I know. bit.ly/openline. Everyone knows what bit.ly is. If you're hip
everyone
to it.
Everyone is anyone.
Very good. So check Michelle Naranjo out.
Hey, and let me jot this down. Get a notebook. We'll wait. Got
find
it?
The pen.
Good.
Oh, that's copywritten.
Oh. Well, back that one
beep.
Up. Beep, beep,
what's his
beep.
Name? Merv Griffin's going to come after you?
Here's why I say this. We've got the number for next week already. Can you believe I'm so on the ball, Michelle, that I've got the number for next week?
You are such an amazing producer, Ben. We're
don't call
win
me producer, please.
No,
I don't want to get sued. So
you're my producer.
Oh, is some extracurricular activity going on here that we're not aware of? Fraternizing?
1-218-936-6581. And then when you get in there, it's going to ask you for a PIN, a personal identification numeral. And that is 25681. So once again, with your pen handy, 218-936-6581 with PIN 25681. Don't get those mixed up. Because they won't let you dial in if you just put in five numbers.
Well. Are you done? Nodded off there, we're Ben.
Just trying to be informative. You'll have a fun time because it's a really great show.
It's awesome. It's free-flowing.
You never know who shows up.
That's right. We had Peter DiLorenzo.
The auto-extremist himself.
Right.
Yeah. Not Lion either. He was there.
And we've had
David Welch.
Eric Pritko. We've had Fred Cole. And we've had Ben Sanders. Oh,
you never know what automotive celebrity you're going to get to talk to.
It's amazing. It's like Car Chat, but better.
Only that Bowman guy's a slacker calling in, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, Ben, thank you as well for getting today's show off at a reasonable hour. Appreciate it.
Ow, ow.
Yes, indeed. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, for more great content throughout the week, including links and show notes. Oh, I forgot about Eric.
I know. I was getting ready to say, what about Eric?
Well, I'm looking right at him. That's why.
Screw you.
Eric Turco, rumblestrip.net, rumblestrip on Twitter, blog.webrightstv.com. So sorry. Are you working on anything important here?
Well, obviously it must not be important because you're not going to give me any time.
Plug away.
No.
I'll let you do the close of the show, Eric. It's custom close. Help yourself to the mic.
No.
Oh, will you diss me like that? No.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, Ben.
What you working on blog.webridestv.com? Just curious.
Finding anything halfway decent to put up there that everyone else isn't putting up on theirs, and working on two or three reviews that I've got to finish. I've got them started. I just got to finish them. For some cars that I've driven over the last couple months.
And where can the people find your
blog.webridestv.com, rumblestrip.net.
Which is really cool. He's doing a great job. He's putting up all sorts of stuff that nobody else is getting. And it's
he's
interesting.
Scooping
it's not
them.
The normal sort of standard
the
stuff.
The one thing I was really happy that I got this week was some stuff from Australian V8 supercars where they take you for not just a regular lap, but he describes in detail the lap and through the pit stop and stuff like that. And it's pretty funny. There's some good stuff. So, anyway.
It's a good video.
Blog.webridestv.com, Rumblestrip on Twitter, and rumblestrip.net for your Tritco fix. And with that, we have to wrap this show up because we have gone terribly over time. But visit our website, roundaboutshow.com. For more great content, throughout the week, including links and show notes. Visit us on Twitter as well, twitter.com/roundaboutshow. And as Michelle mentioned earlier, we also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/roundaboutshow.
Facebook us.
Friend of Rumi. We're also on iTunes. Subscribe. You'll never miss a podcast or the Zune Marketplace. And with that, thanks to all of you out there listening. Join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. Talk to you then.
Are you guys ready for me?
Hold on.
Y'all ready for this?
Jeff's got to take his trousers off.
How did you know?
Hold on, premature. Guys.
I got the button-up fly on these jeans. I got to undo half a dozen buttons.
Am I really saying roundabout?
I just put it there to be funny. If you don't want to, that's fine.
Well, I don't know how to do the voice.
It doesn't matter. Roundabout. It is the, whatever.
We're free flowing here, Jeff.
We could. I mean, maybe Ben could actually like put the in there.
What, Cookie Monster? And the blue poop
and
again.
The blue poop.
Welcome to Roundabout. Shut up.
And we have our first blooper of the night, my favorite.
Oh, we like to destroy Ben's weekend by dragging this out as long as possible. Every week, like longshoremen, we root around inside the hull of the internet in search of cargo to offload. And what's that, Ben?
Root around in there.
Hit M and mark it so I can start again.
Oh, for crying out loud. There you go. You're marked.
Every week,
Mark
like
for death.
I was waiting for that.
You know who never shows up to our chat?
Who would that be, Benjamin?
Oh yeah,
oh yeah, that guy.
You know why? Because now he's ensconced in an apartment with his girlfriend, and so he's actually having to pay attention to her.
No,
he's cohabitating.
Are they fiancéed yet?
That'll last about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Nice.
Once you get sick of ramen noodles.
Not technically, because she's waiting for that great big diamond that she wants, right?
Cylon. So
Cylon.
Now they're just having premarital relations then.
Sinners.
Thank you, Jeff. That was awesome. Tee it up. You knock it out of the park.
God, where do Catherine and I fall on that one then?
You're living in sin. Married.
Oh, old people sex. Wait, did I say that aloud?
You did.
Whoops-a-daisy.
Craig, watch out. That's not always an inner monologue.
We're fighting words right there. I'm going to go ahead and leave early now.
How did Craig end up strapped to the train tracks last night?
Yes, Craig does fit in the trunk of a smart car.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Somebody's jiggling.
Michelle, is that you?
That was not me.
Put that away in the drawer where we can't hear it. Glad I was still recording that one. That's a good outtake.
Oops.
Oops, Daisy. Gotta get new AA batteries.
Would be my guess.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.